Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
If I haven't had the chance to meet you, hey, how's it going? My name's Dan. I'm the youth pastor here, and it's my joy to be a part of this Psalms of Summer series that we're going in. So before we begin, and before we jump into the psalm that we are reading today, I wanted to ask you a question. A question for you guys to reflect on, and it's this. How often do you set your mind on God? Like, how much of your day-to-day life do you devote to thinking about, meditating on, praising God for his character? Or even how much time do you give to reflecting on the fact that he still desires to have a close and personal relationship with you? I think as we go through in our minds, I think many of us would have different answers to that, but many of us would probably have the answer, not enough. Not enough. And look, I'm including myself in this answer, right? There are times in my life where I've had to admit that I've just lost sight of setting my mind on God. And one of the main reasons of this is that I often become just like way too focused on what's happening out here, right? Out in the horizontal, whether it be these good things in life that are happening. Maybe there's so many good things that I'm just so busy and maybe sometimes too busy to look up. Or maybe it's those hard times in life and those tragedies and those painful times in our lives where our heads almost feel too heavy to lift up. But it's these moments that I don't set my mind on God that I've experienced less peace and joy and hope in God. This peace that he wants me to have in my everyday life. That is when I don't take the time to just be still and to focus on him. Let him be who he promises he will be for me. I notice then the less I rely on him, the less I learn from him, the less I trust him with all that I face in the day-to-day life. So my question is it the same for you? How often do you set your mind on God? And if you do lose your setting your mind on God, then what's the result? What happens to you? What happens in your life? What happens on your daily walk with God? It's these questions and reflections like this that make me so grateful for the book of Psalms. Because within many of these lyrics we read in this ancient Hebrew hymnal, we read these words and prayers that help us actually learn to set our minds on God and to know him. Right, we learn in these songs and see God's people actually have this intentional focus on the character of God. Many of them are describing who he is to them, and who he will always be. And so in prayer and song, these psalms are teaching us to be intentional, to take the time to set our minds on God, to know God. And what we also observe from a lot of these songs is that after spending time focusing on the character of God, it actually will lead to a personal response out of it. A response like focusing their minds more on him, refocusing their hearts vertically to trust him more, to live daily in their lives horizontal with minds set on him in the vertical. They also come out often of these songs with different desires to be devoted more to God, to be more faithful, to trust him, and a desire to be known by him. You see, there are so many psalms that do this, whether they be psalms of thanksgiving or even psalms of lament. But one of these psalms that is unique in the way it does this is Psalm 139. So we're going to be looking at Psalm 139 this morning. So if you'd like to open your Bibles to Psalm 139, if you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you in the seats. It's found on page 521. So we'll be in Psalm 139. And what I hope we will learn from this song is this, is that when we strive to know God more, the more we will desire to be known by God. Let me say that again. The more we strive to know God, the more we will desire to be known by God. And this psalm actually begins by taking the first 18 verses to literally do that, to set our minds on God, to see him for who he is and what that actually means for us. And so as we work through these verses, I hope that we will see why we should strive to know God and why we should strive to know God as one who knows us, who is always with us, and has made us. So again, Psalm 139, we'll start at verse 1. To the choir master, a psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. And so what we're reading here are the lyrics to a song that is crafted by David to help God's people know Yahweh, know their one true God. But to not only know like how wonderful and great and holy this God is, but also how close, how personal, how intentional our Heavenly Father is. And as David writes these beautifully deep and very theological truths about who God is to God's people, it should lead us to wonder with them. It should lead us to worship with them. It should lead us to have a deeper desire to know him more, to seek him more, to trust him more. And so as we strive to know God more, we need to see our God as a God who fully knows us and protects us. And this is what we see in verses 1 to 6, right? It's clear from these verses that there is no limit to God's intimate knowledge of his people, right? He is big enough that he knows when we sit and when we rise. Like, he sees and knows all these things. But he's also close enough. He is close enough to discern our motivations, our thoughts, and desires from afar. He measures out our paths that we will take. He knows how long we rest and even knows the words we will say when there are no words in our minds and on our tongues. Right? We see that God is all-knowing. And this is simply not like a fact-based knowing. It's not like, man, he's going to ace that algebra test or like do really well on the history essay. I mean, if he wanted to, sure, I guess he could do that. But no, that's not what we're talking about here, right? We're talking about this personal knowledge that God has of us, of who we are, what we do, how we see ourselves. And as David says in verse 6, this is a knowledge too wonderful, too high to come to grips with. It's something that should lead us to strive to know God and worship him every day. But we also see here that God's knowledge of us should lead us to a deeper trust in him. Right? We read that David saw this all-knowing nature of God as something comforting for him, something that he found protection and safety in. Look with me at verse 5. Right? God's hand is upon him. This is like a poetic way of explaining that he feels hemmed in. He feels hemmed in the refuge of Yahweh because of his wonderful knowledge of him. And so for us today as God's people, one way we also marvel at this amazing truth of this all-knowing God, but may we also find a deeper trust and hope in this all-knowing God who knows who we were, who we are, and who we will be. And because of this all-knowing nature of God, we should be open and honest with him in prayer because he knows it all already. We should trust him because he knows what plans he has for us and in this world. And because of this truth, because of who he is, we need to strive to know him and to know him more deeply as a God who knows. And we should also strive to know God as the one who is always with us and guides us. And we see this in verses 7 and 12. Right? Again, David, as a skillful songwriter, uses this beautiful poetry. Like, he's a really good songwriter. He uses poetry to describe the extent of God's presence in the world. So, like, poetry nerd alert here, sorry, but he uses this thing called merisms. Merisms are these figures of speech which use polar opposites to communicate the expanse between something. And this is what we see him doing here, right? When he says, if we are to ascend to the heavens above, there he would be. And if we were to sprawl into the depths of Sheol, behold, God would be there, right? He's covering the vertical extent of all of creation. Look at verse 8. The wings of the morning here is actually better translated as the wings of dawn, meaning that David's more than likely trying to point us to the far east. And then the sea is more than likely directing us to look west beyond the Mediterranean Sea, meaning that Yahweh's presence spans the horizontal extent of all of creation. He is saying here that there is absolutely nowhere he or we can run from the presence of God. He is completely inescapable. Look at verses 11 and 12 with me. We see that not even the darkness is crushing to Yahweh, right? Even darkness is not dark to you. Night is as bright as the day. This should leave us with minds blown. But I also realize, and the more I was thinking about this passage, that some of us might seem this truth is a little daunting, maybe a little scary, right? It's a truth, though, that we see in this passage that should actually bring us more comfort. Because we read that God is not only everywhere, but he's also guiding us through everywhere. Look at verse 10. We see that the same hand of God that protects us in verse 5 now leads us and holds us because the Lord is everywhere. So this means that no matter where we go, no matter what challenges we face wherever we go, no matter the struggles that we may have at home or at work, those places that you have in your mind where we cry or where we laugh, we can live with peace because he promises we are never far from him. His presence is always with us, and he will never leave or forsake us, his people, his children. And this is why we need to strive to know him more. We need to strive to know him as a God who is always with us. And we also need to strive to know God as the one who made us. Look at verses 13 to 18. Right? It's in these verses that we not only see God as creator, but we also see the personal value and purpose that he has given us to hold. Right? David wants us to see that we are God's fearful and wonderful creation, but that he deeply cares for us. We are his creations, right? Men and women made in the image of God. And so again, the songwriter David kicks it up again and portrays God as this master craftsman when he looks at how he created him, right? Like, God is skillfully and intentionally forming our inward parts. Right, the word for inward parts there is actually more for like an inner location for your thoughts and your desires and your passions. And so God is skillfully and intentionally forming our inward parts. He is weaving together our physical bodies right down to our bones. And he does this all with careful attention. and care for us, right? We are not hidden from God as he forms us in the secret place. So not only does God create us with value, but we also see that God creates us with purpose, thoughtfully and intentionally, right? Every day of our lives is known and seen by God, even before we were formed. Our choices, plans, decisions, past, present, even future, all of it is thoughtfully written out by the author and creator of life itself. This is an image of our creator God that leaves David again and us in verses 17 to 18, treasuring these precious thoughts of God that he has for us as he reflects on the character of God. And it should lead us to marvel. It should lead us to worship him, because there are moments when we are struggling to feel like we have any value. There may be moments that we can struggle to see why would even God love us. But what we see here in these truths is that we are cared for and loved more than we can ask or imagine. And if we are able to live in these truths, we are going to have to be intentional to do what David was doing as he wrote this psalm, right? What we are learning here is that we need to strive to know God more. What we need to see in this psalm and many other psalms is how the truth of God about who he is and how and who he always will be does actually something to us, right? What we know about God and his character in some way recalibrates us at a soul level. It reorients our hearts and minds to live daily with that vertical perspective I was talking about before, right? In many ways, this reorientation actually happens when we allow the truth of God to actually shift who we see we are in light of who he is. This is what the Bible calls humility. This posture, this humble posture we can take in life when we set our minds on God and gaze upon his beauty and his glory and then truly see ourselves in light of who he is. And this isn't to make us feel low or beat down or those kind of things. It's actually to lead us to a place where we can marvel and worship him even more for his love for us, seen in sending Jesus to live the life we never could as one of us, die the death that we deserve for our sin, and rise again to new life so that we can be restored into a now and forever relationship with this God. This God. And so when we strive to know him more each and every day, and he reorients our hearts vertically and our lives in humility, it is then when we'll notice a difference in the way that we live for him, in the way that we follow him, in the way that we seek to point to him every single day. And so the big question then is how? Right? How then do we strive to know God more each and every day? But it starts by building your life around this book, the Bible. As Pastor Jeff highlighted last week here, a famous quote from one of my favorite and old professors, Dr. Barker at Heritage, something that Dr. Barker reminds a lot of his students currently and probably after every day. And it's this amazing truth that every time we crack open our Bibles, we come face to face with God. And so we need to take time to open this book. And not just read this book, but to dig into it, to study it, to memorize it, to pray the words of it over ourselves and for others so that we can come to know the love of God and love him more with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so if you're sitting here today and you're in the camp where, yeah, you feel every day, then keep going. Press on. Don't stop. But also remember to be intentional to make sure that the knowledge, right? Make time in your life to read, to stop, to reflect on those passages that blow you to God, bring you to this place of worship, bring you to this place of awe and wonder. You can't help but share it with other people. But if you're in the camp right now and you're saying that, yeah, maybe that you start. Is that you start, right? Pick a book of the Bible to read this summer. Our youth are going, or if it helps you hear God's word, it helps you to hear God's word as well as read it, throw in the AirPods. Look as brothers and sisters in Christ, because the most important thing you can do is to start striving to know our hearts and our minds, to love, serve, and worship him with every ounce of who we are. Every day will also come a deeper desire to be known by God. Let's keep reading. Starting, men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Everlasting. And so first, we see David show us that the more we know God, the more we desire. It's prayerful, yet strangely aggressive plea that David gives to God after being reoriented to see his representative of people, like, for example, a king like David, lifts up these raw and brutal words against God and against God's people. These are commonly there, but one of the key other keys in understanding that they are actually desperate prayers for God to be faithful to his covenant promises, to ask to bless those who bless God's people and curse those who curse God's people. Or in Deuteronomy 32, where God is up to God himself, who will vindicate his people and his name, who will act and take action. He promised to do, to slay the wicked, who we see have killed many of his people, because we see they speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. So God, to be faithful to his character and promises. Right? After taking the time to reflect on the character, now running to God with a deeper sense of trust in him. A trust that leads him to submit to God in prayer, believe. And so we then also see that David submits to this hate he's declaring actually stems out of a zeal for God and a zeal to walk in his ways. Not walk in the way of the wicked, right? And that comes out of knowing God. Because he knows God, now he wants to identify with the heart of God and live wholly devoted to him in his ways, which are and always will be opposed to evil and sin. And so we see that the more we know God, the more we desire to submit to God in all of our lives. And now then, from a heart of submission to God, we see David show us what it looks like to live with this desire to be deeply and personally known by God as we surrender to him. And we see this in verses 23 and 24, right? David's posture changes again here, right? He now desires to surrender to God and appeals for him to search him and know him. Right? He's completely surrendering his heart and everything in his life in these verses, calling on God in humility to try and test all of his heart and know his thoughts. This is David calling out for God to root out any sin, thought, desire, emotion, doubt, delight, burden, struggle, anything at all. Anything at all that he knows about, anything he doesn't know about, that is keeping him from loving and serving God and following in the way everlasting that he wants him to walk in. This is what we see in verse 24. See if there be any grievous way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Right? Notice there's two paths. There's two ways that he can be taking in life. There's this grievous way, also known as the offensive way, or actually in the Hebrew, the way of pain. This is the way David and God's people do not want to be led, right? This is what the New Testament would probably call the way of the world. This path that is rooted in sin, that turns us away from God and trusting and relying on him. And so David's crying out, keep me away from this pain. Search me, test my desires and my passions, know my thoughts and emotions so I might not go there. But instead, he wants to be led in the way everlasting. This other path that is led faithfully by God into a full life of close fellowship and relationship with Yahweh himself. And so it's a passionate plea to God that he is doing here. He is pleading with God to search him and know him so fully, so completely, all to make sure that there is nothing that will keep him from following God and keeping him on the path of the life everlasting. And see, these verses offer a beautiful picture of what submission and surrender looks like for us and should look like for us. And it's a picture that actually started in verse 1. Right? It's a picture that begins when we start striving to know God more and to allow the truth about who God is and who he always will be, to shift our hearts and our minds to love, serve, and worship him with everything that we are. And as we grow in our own knowledge of God over time, I believe, in fact, I know that the more we will actually share David's desire, we will have the same desire as David to be personally, fully, and wholeheartedly known by God so that he may lead us into the way everlasting. Because the more we know God, the more we'll actually notice this like conscious, intentional desire in us to run to God in prayer each day, ask him to search our hearts, test our desires, know our thoughts. The more we know God, the more we will find ourselves daily surrendering to him. Right? Giving up those desires, those dreams, those gifts that we may have been holding back from him so that we may take up our cross and follow him as he called. So whether it be not taking that promotion that may keep me away from discipling my kids the way I am called to do, maybe it's that fear or that fear of other people that keeps me away from sharing my faith with those in my neighborhood or in my workplace. Or even it could be as simple as like putting a screen time limit on my phone so I spend less time scrolling and more time praying. The more you know God, the more you will be willing to surrender everything to him. And the more you know God, the more we will daily desire for the Holy Spirit to give us clarity, to examine ourselves, so that we may know those thoughts, those desires, words, and actions that may be pulling us away from this way everlasting. Thoughts of bitterness or envy towards friends we may hold. Those responses in anger that happen a little bit more often than we like. Maybe even this pull to just look at people and things that stir in us desires that cannot be righteously fulfilled. The more we know God, the more we want God to remove all of these things from our lives, and as a result, we want to come to him in humility and confess. Confess before God all of these things he exposes in our hearts and cry out to him for forgiveness and restoration. And it's all because we know him. We run to him because we know him. We have been devoted to setting our minds on God and knowing him for who he is. And that's why we can run to him in confidence, because we know that out of his love for us and desire for us to walk in the way everlasting, he sent Jesus to free us and to give us the opportunity to live a new life as forgiven, freed, growing sons and daughters of him who can follow him into the life everlasting that he wants for us. I love this psalm. And I love this psalm because for many of us, it can be a challenge for us to set our minds on God as much as we should. But I hope and pray that for all of us, and look, myself included, for all of us, that we would be led to follow in the footsteps of David here and see that when we strive to know God more, the more we will desire to be known by God. Right? The more we know God, the more we will desire to be known by God. And so I pray that we will learn to strive to know God, to gaze on his beauty and glory each and every day as we read our Bibles and point one another to him. But I also pray that God will grow in us a deeper desire to be known by him, a desire that will lead us to the cross again and again and again and again, to submit and surrender to God all of ourselves, to love him and be led by him into the way everlasting, because it is when we know God more and desire to be known by God more, the more he will lead us into the way everlasting, the more he will guide us to what Jesus calls life to the full, And it's that life that Jesus came to save us into, both now and into forever.